Check 1, 2, 1, 2. I hope everyone is chilling. It's kind of late, but I decided since I am trying to update all platforms and get the quote unquote new version of this podcast show off the ground, I probably should add somewhat of a new episode so that I'm not promoting old shit, because promoting old shit is not the move. We're not doing that anymore. This is Reagan, aka Honey Grip, and you're listening to Honey Grip, the podcast. So last time we spoke, I was telling you guys about my therapy realizations and basically, you know, coming to that kind of standstill with therapy and pushing past that. And I think for 2019, pushing past any type of obstacles or delays or, you know, anything that's going to basically kind of slow you down. I think the point of 2019 is really, at least has been for me, to just keep trying to push past anything that makes you want to give up. It's been, the year is going by so fast. It's already May. It's May 1st. And I don't know. The year for me has kind of been a blur because I spent most of my year just trying to fully recover and get back to a place where I felt like myself, because I haven't been feeling like myself for a very long time. I think that I have, therapy has helped me in that I really do find myself advocating for myself more than I have ever done before. And I'm not walking that fine line of like trying to serve more than one master. I am the master of my domain. One of the biggest takeaways I think I've had from going to therapy for me was like, you really have to, some of us are born this way. And if you are born that way, God bless you. But for me, learning to truly not give a fuck about what other people have to say about me or what I may perceive other people may be saying about me, letting all of that fear of like, oh my God, you know, will they like me? Will they accept me? Letting all of that go. And I've, like I said before, I've kind of moved in a way and from a headspace of like, I just want to kind of be neutral. I don't want to be offensive. I know that I can be intimidating to people. I know that people are going to come to me with their preconceived notions of who they think I am. So it's probably best for me to try to not do what people think I'm going to do. Or anyway, the point is I was spending a lot of time trying to analyze what other people thought. And that's a lot of wasted energy. It doesn't matter what they think. So therapy has really driven home the point of just being like, no one else matters but you, but not in a selfish, egotistical, narcissistic, megalomaniac kind of way. In a self-preservation, self-care, self-love, and acceptance way. And there is a difference because, you know, you can be all about your best interest in a way that doesn't have to like step on the necks or step on the backs of other people. You can also stand up for yourself in a way that is not necessarily off-putting to other people, but it's definitely a boundary creating way that they know like, yo, she's not with the shits. And I would say I'm like 85% not with the shits. Because sometimes 15% of the time, you catch me on a good day, I might be with the shits. I feel like, yeah, let's, you want to play, let's play. But, you know, in the last, I would say last 6 to 8 months, I definitely have not been with any type of shits. I haven't barely been able to leave my crib. Like realistically. So, yeah, that's the moral of that story. I've also noticed while I'm podcasting here, I'm going to be trying to make a mental note of not saying, because I listened to the first show And it was cringy for me because I was like, gosh, I sound so nervous. And I do feel really nervous having this show and knowing that I'm doing it, doing this podcast predominantly by myself, although I do envision finding guests. And the spectrum of guests can be, you know, people that I know are gem droppers, people that I know have that have interesting perspectives and can like, you know, speak a word into you. I have a couple of people that I know that no matter what time of day or night I call them and I have a conversation with them, I'm going to walk away with some serious, like, some philosophies that I hadn't necessarily thought about before. A new way to look at things. You know, even if it's something that I thought I had figured out, I appreciate people like that. I don't like yes men, and I don't like people that are always going to just tell me what they think I want to hear. I like people to be honest. You know, I'm not opposed to being told when, you know, I could have done something in a completely different way. I think a lot of people nowadays, they only want to hear from yes men. And they call that support. And yeah, for some people that may be support, but I think a real friend sometimes can tell you when you're fucking up, and a real friend can also step back and be like, look, you got to figure this out on your own, because no matter what I say to you, you're going to do what you want to do. I know you well enough as your friend to know that there's no change in your mind sometimes. You know what I mean? Y'all hear that? Right? Okay. Anyway, y'all. So, I was on Instagram today. I'm on Instagram pretty much every day, even when I'm not posting anything. It's the first app I check in the morning. I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't go to my news apps. I normally have, you know, I wake up in the morning, I put on like headline news or whatever, I see whatever the top stories of the day are. And when I first reach for my phone, because I don't actually even keep my phone near my bed, but when I get up and reach for my phone, the very first thing I do is I check Instagram. And that's not a bad thing, but it's not necessarily a good thing either. Because I remember 5 or 6 years ago when Facebook was everything. Like, I was in a relationship at the time, and my ex, he didn't understand why I could spend hours on the computer talking to people, mostly people that like I hadn't seen since eighth grade, or, you know, people that I went to high school with, and being so fascinated by watching their lives happen and catching up with people that I haven't seen in a long time. He just thought it was like, oh my God, you're like wasting away sitting in front of the computer. And he took offense to it. But I was also networking, and I was also seeking new opportunities, and I was also applying for jobs, and I was also doing so many other things that the internet and, yeah, even Facebook can be used for. It's funny because some people try to talk about like, oh, it's just the internet. It's just social media, you know, like can't take it too seriously. But you can absolutely take it seriously, because it is the nucleus of where our world is going today. How we get information, how we, you know, we buy things over the internet. We purchase, like, major life purchases are made over the internet. Remember 20 years ago, you were like, I'm not putting my credit card information into the computer. I don't know what's going to happen to my credit card number if I give this person over the internet my credit card number. Now, can you imagine your life without using the internet? Can you imagine your life without Amazon Prime? Can you imagine your life without Instagram? I mean, really think about it. Can you imagine your life without Indeed? Can you imagine your life without these apps and these websites that have basically taken over our lives? And you see it every day when you look at, like, magazines are folding, and newspapers that used to have 800 employees are now down to like 30. And, you know, we're living in a world where we have literally this device is the key to the library. It's the key to the history of everything. And when you need information, it's right literally in your hand. So we should all be geniuses, right? And we should all be like practically honorary doctors and have honorary doctorates in any subject matter that we wish or we please, because literally all of the information that we could possibly need about whatever it is we're interested in is literally in your hand. My information pod is in my hand right now. And yet and still, with that being said, people, humans, it's amazing, are seemingly getting dumber. And I don't know if it's because it's like information overkill, having so many choices. It's like the fig tree, you know what I'm saying? Like you have so many options of how to get information or which source to get information from or which article you could read or, and yet and still people are just like, I'm going to go for the lowest hanging fruit. I'm going to go for the website that has some cockamamie name that you know is like, you ever see somebody post some shit on social media and you're like, dog, what the fuck is webehappening.net? Like you can't use this as a fucking political expert resource and be posting the story like it's the truth. Like at least go to CNN and double check it, at least go to TMZ and double check it, and even sometimes TMZ could have it fucked up, but like dog, don't post shit from some website where the fucking name is not even spelled phonetically correct, you know what I mean? Like I judge people that do that anyway. But yeah, you see people that like get their news and they get their information from Twitter. And whatever the first headline or news blurb says is what they're going with. And they go home and they go to work and they go, you know, and congregate with their friends, families, you know, fellow church members or whatever, based on what they read on Twitter. Like, that's scary to me. And I know for me, I see it a lot when I'm writing for different websites that I can put a whole article together and no one reads past whatever the Instagram post about the incident or about the news event says. And that to me is scary. When you know that the popular headline or the story that's going to get the most play and traffic is going to be the one about some ratchet, stupid, ignorant, fucking dumb shit that nobody cares or no one should care about. Meanwhile, the stuff that people should be paying attention to is just going to get bypassed. Like, they're not reading all that. No one. Twitter has literally caused people to have to absorb information and give information in, like, blurbs. Because if you talk too long, you're going to lose your audience. And if you write too long, the article is too long, the essay is too long, too many big words, people are going to drop off. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why I was very and am still very hesitant to write a book, because I was like, there's so many things I want to say, but if I put it in a book, like, are people going to read? Do people read? I can read like one article, but to sit down and commit to a book, I don't know, guys. It's tough. It's hard. I read Michelle Obama's book, and it was, and everyone was like, this is such a great book. And I pushed myself to get through the book because I was like, I don't want to be the only person that hasn't read this book. But then I was like, damn, I really should have just got the audiobook. That's sad, right? But it's honest. I should have just got the audiobook. I was saying about Instagram that I get up and it's the first thing I check in the morning. And after I check it, then it's like, okay, I can start my day. What did I miss while I was sleeping? Who did what? What story broke? What gossip broke? You know, who's out with who where? Like, it's just like I have no, and it affects my ability to like want to go out outside and be social, because I literally feel like I get my social fix from just looking at what happened while I was asleep or while I stayed in my house. It used to be that I would go on like party picture websites. If a party happened, then I wasn't sure if I wanted to go or not, and then I would go on the party picture website and look at the party pictures and see people and be like, oh, she was there, oh, he was there, oh, I ain't missed nothing. Now I kind of use Instagram for that, and you can follow through with a hashtag, or you can go to the geotag of the location and, you know, look through your friends' pictures. Okay, they were at such and such club. All right, well, let me go to such and such club's website, or let me go to such and such a story, and I can get like a full 360 degree view of the party that I was contemplating going to. And then probably by the time I finished that quote unquote research, I'm content that I didn't go. I was like, oh, it looked like it was cute, but I didn't really miss nothing. And I knew I had a problem when I would be in clubs, or even when I go out now, I'm on my phone. And really, on my phone for what? Like, who's in my phone that's not in that room? Do you know what I'm saying? Who's more desirable to me, and who has my attention more than the people around me in that room? But it literally got to a point for me where I was just like, I love my phone. I'd rather be at home on my phone than in this room with these people. I'd rather be looking at this party or looking at this event through my phone than actually spending the money or spending the energy to get up, get out of my house, and go to an event. So my girlfriend and I, we have this kind of like joke, running joke with each other, that we're like two old ladies, because prepping to go out, and I don't even mean physically putting on makeup and putting on clothes, the mental preparation. If we are like, yeah, we're going to go out on Saturday and it's Monday, we have to keep reminding each other throughout the week that we agreed to go to the event on Saturday. And if I don't hear from you on Saturday, like by 8 o'clock, whew, I guess she didn't want to go. Up, turning my phone off, I'm going to sleep. And it's not even going to be an issue between us, because we are both like, yo, you know, I wasn't leaving my house. I'm fucking tired. You know, next time. And next time comes and it never happens. So, yeah, this is what it is. This is life now for me. Yeah, but getting back to the whole thing with Instagram, it's just like writing for sites and feeling like I don't want to necessarily be responsible for or participate in the dumbing down of people, but it's already happening. And I think that it's quite clear that it's happening, because we have the people in office that we have in office now. Right? Because there's no way that, you know, educated voters who did their research and did extensive research and really fact-checked and, you know, dug deeper than whatever they were told could have elected the people that we have in office. Whom, by the way, I'm saying this now, you can bet your bottom dollar, right? You can hold me to this, that we're going to get 4 more years of the bullshit. Just because there's so many like wackadoo candidates that we have to try to pick through, that dude is just going to take over again, because the vote is going to be split so many ways, and his supporters are going to come out in droves, and they're going to fuck with the system enough that the you know, their votes get counted while the minority votes may not, or it's just going to be more of the same shit, because America's still not really serious about getting rid of this person as much as we should be. But dare I turn this into political commentary, because this is not what I'm about. So getting back to the Instagram thing, yeah, so it's really scary sometimes when I write something and it's posted, and then I happen to go through the comments of what was posted, and people's reactions tell me that they didn't read. Some people do read and they just want to troll, so they just post like anything ridiculous to have an to have an adverse opinion on whatever this topic of the, it's just, ugh. So that is like a morale downer for me too sometimes. It's just like, oh my God. Yeah, why am I doing this? It's just something that I learned. And also, you know, looking at life through the lens of people only posting their highlight reels, people only posting their best Photoshop, best filtered, best, you know, remove every blemish from their life and from their face or from their, you know, not showing you the full picture, not letting you really see what's going on behind the scenes or on the side of the scene or who's taking the picture. I mean, it's so much smoke and mirrors with Instagram and other sites like that. We don't want to just shit on Instagram, but there's so much going on that it's really unfortunate for it to be the prominent kind of thing that we are using to judge ourselves. It's so askew. It's so like it's literally taking a funhouse mirror and then we're holding that mirror up every day and we're wondering why our real reflections do not resemble what we see in this crazy mirror, this magic crazy bullshit mirror that we're looking at that we're reflecting ourselves back from. It's unfortunate. And the reality is that there are a lot of people who have social media addictions, who are so deeply affected by how many likes they get, how much attention they get, what's going on in other people's lives, living up to a false narrative that they've created for themselves to get likes on social media, to get attention, to get a following, buying followers, creating businesses that don't really exist, claiming that they're entrepreneurs, claiming that they're moguls, claiming that they're models, and like we've never heard of them. Like you just wake up one day and this person has 100,000 followers and now they're an influencer and now they're telling you what you should be doing and what you should be wearing and where you should be vacationing. And you're like, who the fuck is this person? But part of you is also like, oh my God, I don't want to not be doing and vacationing and eating and wearing what this person says I should be wearing. If this is what's in, then I want to stay abreast of what's in. It's weird. And so it's a matrix, and it's important for a lot of us to kind of stay woke, so to speak, and not make social media so much a part of how we view ourselves and how we present ourselves to other people. A few years back, I remember when there used to be all those memes about, you know, niggas be like, or bitches be like, and it would always be some really derogatory things about black people. And it was, you know, funny to laugh at these pictures and these videos that, of course, never showed anybody really in their best light. And they were funny, but they were also really telling about how stereotypically we still view ourselves, you know. And it also helps perpetuate those negative beliefs about us, even amongst our people. If we keep showing, you know, I can't even think of something, but like, you know, the ghetto baby mama, the drug dealing dude, the deadbeat dad, the twerking girl, the fights, the violence. What is that doing to our psyche? If that's the image we see most often, and we're comfortable with that, it doesn't even faze us. You know, there's times like, I don't know who that rapper was. I'm older than most people think. But the guy that used to date Black China, when he got beat up in New York City, and I woke up that morning and his that video of him being beat and kicked in the head and stomped out, and then he tried to run away and then he got sliced in his face. Like, I was like, damn, y'all gonna just keep reposting this? Like, we really just gonna keep reposting this boy getting his ass beat? or when Junior, God, I forgot his last name. God forgive me. But a year ago when he was jumped and stabbed by that Dominican group in gang in the Bronx, and that video of him trying to hide in the store, and then they dragging him out the store, and then they stabbing him up, and you see him all blood. Are we really, like, do we really need to keep this video circulating? Like, okay, we know the story. We know the outcome of the story. Why y'all keep posting this video? Do y'all really think that you're, like, you know, circulating information that, no, that's somebody's child. That's somebody's baby being drugged out of a store, scared for his life, his last moments on earth. How many times you need to see that? And when you think about it, it's like, yo, that's a fucking snuff film. Like, how many times do you need to watch a snuff film? And what happens when we're in the streets and we see an incident going down in the streets and people have cell phones, and the first thing they do with their phone is not dial 911, but we are fucking recording it because we want to be the first one to get the full best view, bird's eye view of this whole incident, so we can go home and we can post it on social media, so we can get the likes, so we can get the shares. What happened to us? You know, just like there's, for me, I have a problem sometimes with, like, let's say you have a bad experience at a restaurant, and your first defense of that is to go on social media and, you know, try to initiate your friends or your followers to boycott an establishment because you had a bad experience, or because they didn't give you the discount, or they didn't give you whatever you felt you deserved. And it's like, yo, that's somebody's livelihood, right? It's a mom and pop shop, or, you know, you didn't like your haircut, or you didn't like your nails, or you didn't like whatever service they provided you. You know what you do? Like, don't go back. You know, especially if you have like 30,000, 100,000, but to go on your social media and now tell these people about your isolated incident and now cause these people to form a judgment where they say to themselves, oh, they treated you like that? Well, I'm not going to give them my business. Nah, maybe you were cunty, hon. Maybe you were the asshole in that situation. And, you know, it's unfair sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time. But it's unfair that a business should now have their reputation besmudged because y'all individual persons had an incident with maybe one individual worker in that place, or, you know, one runoff situation. Like, I think that's dangerous. And I see a lot of quote unquote influencers pulling that stunt sometimes when they don't get their way. And it's not really fair because it's like, what's my method of undoing what is potentially done when I'm going up against somebody with thousands, tens of thousands of followers, and I own a business, and, you know, we didn't have a good exchange that one time that we did business together. On the other hand, playing devil's advocate, on the other hand, when you're dealing with people that are fucking shady, and there's a lot of shady people on Instagram who just change their handle, change the name of their company, but keep the same shady business practices, and no one is, you know, telling the next person and spreading the word. Like, yo, this person is fucking a scammer. They're going to take your money, they're going to offer you a service, and you're not going to get any, you know, get the results you paid for. I oftentimes wonder how sometimes people can, like, follow somebody who is supposedly an authority on something and they never post anything having to do with what they are supposedly in business for. And it's like, I mean, again, you don't necessarily have to have documentation that proves that you are an expert in whatever you are. Some people are just creatively gifted and they, you know, I didn't go to school for this, but I'm good at it. I did it and it's successful and it is what it is. But other times it's like, oh, they claim that they're such and such and now they're going around and doing panels showing you how to become a such and such like them, but I've never seen your work. I've never seen who, you know what I mean? It's weird, but social media allows people to be whoever and whatever they claim they are, which is amazing because I am about to claim that I'm a podcaster. You see how I did right there? Yeah. So I'm just here with you guys shooting the shit. I don't know. You can reach me on Instagram on my profile page. There is an email link. You can email me. And I do prefer that people email me because what I find a lot is that men especially, they like to DM me and claim that they are interested in doing business. Even though sometimes I don't even know what business they think that we could do together, but they want to hire me or they want to commission me and they want to discuss whatever their ideas are with me further. And they come into my DMs and I just don't understand why when you go on someone's profile page and there's a link to their email or they have their email address or their contact, you know, for bookings or for whatever, contact this person. It's written in their profile. They will still DM you. Okay, let's say, we'll play devil's advocate. DMing is much easier than having to click through a bunch of links and send an email. Or having to remember the email address, copy and paste it into a email field and then sending an email. But then you DM a person. And I got to tell you guys this before I go. Because this happens to me at least twice a week. A story I've written will get posted on a website that I work with. And some wannabe rapper or whatever person will come in my DM and say, I want to work with you. I think, blah, 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 you're blah, 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 you know, I like your writing. I like your, blah, blah, blah. I like your vibe, whatever their tap is, right? Whatever their spiel is. And then most of the time, 70% of the time, I can look at the email and be like, I mean, I can look at the DM and be like, I'm not even going to respond to this person because they ain't for real. Like, you ain't for real. And then on the off occasions where I say, oh, you know what? Let me give this person a chance because I don't want to think everybody's the same. And I respond to an email. I mean, DM. I respond to the DM and my response is the same for everyone, especially the guys, because it's always the lamest type of attempt to strike up conversation with me. But it's like, yeah, you know, I like your work and I would like you to help me with the such and such and I think we could work together. First of all, you're in my DM. Everybody thinks that it's a reciprocal relationship. You know, you want something from me when you're trying to make it sound like me doing that for you is going to benefit me. No, you're in my DM. It's not helping me. And so they come at you like, yeah, you know, it's like if I say to you, yeah, I want you to bake me a birthday cake and all my friends are going to eat the cake and they're going to love it. And then they'll know that you know how to bake cakes. Well, how the fuck does that help me? They'll know that I know how to bake. Oh, I guess you're trying to say that I'll get exposure and then the people will want me to bake their birthday cakes. Yeah, but ain't nobody talking about money. Like, money makes the world go round. Please don't come in my DMs and think that an exchange of exposure is gonna fucking move the meter not in today's day and age, not when we are dealing with social media. Social media is the key to exposure. I don't need your follower list to get me exposure, especially if you don't have more followers than I do, especially if you're not working with brands and with companies and with digital magazines that have as much reach as the things that I'm already doing. So it's not really helping me. So let's cut the bullshit, right? That's my first attitude in my mind. It's between us. So it's like, okay, yeah, you want to work with me. You want me to do some writing for you or whatever the case may be, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, yeah, so take my information. Now you're in my DM. You want me to take your information to follow up with you for a business proposal, right? This is your opportunity to propose your business plan. And immediately I have to let them know, like, okay, I don't do business through DMs. I'm sure there's people that have tell you that they've done deals through DMs. Cool, not a problem. If you want to do business, right? You call your my DMs for business. Let's move this to my business email. So here's my business email. You can contact me there, and then we can proceed. I can let you know what my rates are, because you gotta let them know there's rates, and then we can move forward. That's how I hit them every single time. And then as soon as I do that, two things either happen. So they'll go, oh, okay, thanks, because now they know I'm not with the shits. And then I wait, but I'm not really waiting. Then I wait for the business email. Now, publicists will hit me on my business email, because they just start sending me shit, you know, for whatever artist they're trying to promote. They're for real. But everybody else is like, oh, business email? She's pivoting to the now. And then they drop off. Or, like today, I had a dude that was like, oh, here's my phone number, and I like your vibe, and if you'd like to get together, I'd love to meet you in person, and we could do lunch. What? Why would I want to do lunch with you? You haven't even established with me what you want. You think I'm gonna like come meet you and sit down and have lunch with you because you're interested in me, and you can't even explain to me what you're interested in? No, it's a gigantic waste of time. So I said, here's my business email. And when you're ready to do business, hit me up. Because he actually even said to me, oh, I'm working on such and such project, but I think I could use your help in the future. Help with what? How long is it going to take you to wrap up whatever you're working on? Like, why are you hitting me up now to tell me about how you want to work with me in the future? And you, what's the foreseeable future? What's the timeline on that? So immediately I'm just like, yo, buddy, here's my email address. When you're ready to do business, huh? Now you have my email address. But all this DMing back and forth and trying to strike up a conversation where you're literally second messages, you giving me your phone number and you telling me you want to sit down and have lunch. Lunch for what? I got lunch in my house. I do lunch every day. I don't know what I need your lunch for. What? No. It's almost as if you should just say, hey, will you allow me a moment to waste your time? It's literally spam. It's human spam. Don't spam me. Okay? Let that be the takeaway from this episode. Don't spam me. I don't need it. All right. Move with intention. You have a project? Okay. What is the project? Let's get it. Don't hit me and be like, I'm working on some things, and you here you are just in my DMs wasting my time, running down your mental Rolodex what you could basically hook me in with. I'm not looking to be hooked in, bro. I'm not in your DMs. You're in my DMs. I'm not interested in you. You're interested in me. You understand what I'm saying? So what do you want? Not, you look interesting to me, so how can I use you? What? You know what? How about you figure out how you can use me and then come back and have a conversation with me? And have a conversation with me via my business email, not my DMs. Okay? Because I'm not even taking you seriously if you're in my DMs. But like, how do you jump in somebody's DM and not even like second paragraph of what you're saying to me? You're sending me your phone number and you're telling me we should get together in 2019. Can you imagine, like, why am I running to meet a dude that I never had a conversation with to do lunch? You think I'm that pressed for lunch? I mean, some people are that pressed for lunch. But can you imagine, like, I'm going to come and meet you for lunch. I'm going to get all the way to lunch. And I'm going to be sitting there with my hand, with my head on my hand, like, waiting for you to figure out what the fuck you want. And then taking it from there. Do you think that I would even allow myself to be transported to a second location? Like, the killer's going to take me to... Would I allow myself to be transported to a second location to then establish with you what it is that you want? No, you come in my fucking DMs from the moment you start typing, and you better have your motherfucking shit together and let me know what the fuck you want. What do I look like? Right? Is it me? Don't spam me. Anyway, and like I said, that happens a minimum of twice a week. And I normally just go, I'm not responding to this person. I can tell by their... I had one guy one time, his profile picture was like him and his wife and holding his baby, kissing the holding baby up in the air, kissing the baby. This guy couldn't want anything, you know, inappropriate with me, or, you know, obviously this guy's a happily married man or happily family man, right? He wanted to commission me to do some work for an artist that he was working with. He wanted me to help them put together a press kit. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Here's my business email. And hit me up anytime, and we can move forward and discuss my rates. Do you think he ever hit me back? Hell no, he didn't hit me back. Because he wanted to bullshit with him back and forth and ask me questions and start small talk with me and banter or whatever the fuck he was looking for. And let it go from there. That's a waste of my time. Not to mention that it's a tad bit dishonest. Because when you are a guy, and I'm saying this to guys especially, you see a woman, she's doing her thing, she's a realtor, or she's a makeup artist, or she's a, you know, a publicist, or whatever her business model is, and you find her attractive, and now you want to jump in her DMs and pretend that you're interested in getting together with her to do business, but you don't really want to do business. You want to give her your phone number so you can get her out to lunch somewhere, so you can sit up in her face and figure out a way to get in with her enough that you can move it to another agenda. That's dishonest. Like, if that's the case, jump in her DM and say, hey, I think you're really attractive, and shoot your shot directly. Don't come from behind the fucking basket and try to... No. Don't come from the stands and to come to make it... My nigga, put your uniform on, lace up your sneakers, come on the court, take your shot so I can immediately Mutombo whatever the fuck his name is and bout the shit out the way, because I'm not interested. But you want to pretend it's about business, and to me, you saying business, I'm saying business opportunity. Ooh, time equals money. So don't waste my time. I would be mad. I don't need lunch. I can buy my own lunch. You feel what I'm saying? I think you do. Anyway, I've ranted for, I would say, almost 45 minutes. I don't even know what the name of this show is going to be. But this will be the new episode that I'm about to promote so that I can announce that I'm moving forward with this show. And I intend to take it seriously, and I intend to be dedicated with it, and I intend to have guests, and I intend to get a regular schedule of trying to record at least once a week. And feel free to email me and send me show ideas, or, you know, maybe if you want to be a guest and you want to pitch to me your idea of what you want to talk about when you come on the show, I'm open. Yo, I'm open. I'm here. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And this will be the format. It's just me really kicking it. But I swear to God, you guys, I really would prefer to have someone to talk to and not be talking to myself. But it's all good. You know, I got some things to say. And now I'm going to say them, and I'm going to use the podcast as a platform and a way to reach more people. So I'm here, but not right now, because I'm about to get off. I'm leaving. Until we meet again. All right, guys.